We talked about the urine and feces and blood already. Now is the turn for the dead animal, Maita. Najas things, najasat, and the maita means the dead animal, murdar. So dead animal, the rulings about the dead animal are like this, that all the animals which have dam sa'il, uchal ke nikalne wala khoon, gushing blood. That means if you cut the neck, the blood gushes out with force. Their dead body are najis. So in this ruling we can understand that fishes are tahir. So even if a fish dies inside the water, you know, the halal hilliyat tazkiyah, hilliyat of a fish is that the fish is called halal if, or say, أخذه من الماء حيا. That means taking out the fish alive from water. If as long as you take the fish out of water alive and it dies outside the water, it is called halal. And plus it needs to have the scales. So if a fish, even if a fish dies inside the water, its dead body, Maita, will not be najis because the fish does not fall in this category. If you cut the neck of the fish, the blood does not gush out with force. So even if a fish dies inside the water, it will not be najis. The dead body of fishes are not najis because the blood of a fish does not come out with force. Also, it has to be remembered that parts of a dead animal which don't have soul, penetrating into it, are tahir. So examples, the hair or front part of the nails where the soul does not penetrate. So those parts of a dead animal are tahir, they are not najis. Only those parts of dead animals are najis which the souls penetrate into it. Now, obviously, we are not talking about the animals which are najisul ayn, except the animals which are najisul ayn. Najisul Ayn are two animals only, dog and a pig. These are the only two animals which are ainun najis. So any part of a dog will be najis, any part of a pig will be najis, even the hair, even the nails, even those parts where the soul does not penetrate, everything of a dog and a pig is najis. So when we are saying that parts of a dead animal which don't have soul penetrating into it are tahir, we are not talking about the animals which are ainun najis. We are not talking about dog and pig. We are talking about the rest of the animals. Dog and pig, everything of theirs is najis. Even those parts where the soul do not penetrate are also najis. But we need to keep in mind that najasat transfers through wetness only. So even if a dog or a pig is dry, I mean your hand is totally dry and you touch it, your dry hand, the pig is dry, your hand is dry, so nothing can transfer with dryness. It transfers through the wetness. Either that subject which you are touching has to be wet or your hand needs to be wet. One of those two things need to be wet for transferring of the najasat. If both are dry, najasat will not transfer. So this is about two of the main things of maita, and another point to remember as we are discussing about maita and murdar, dead animal, that those skins of a human which are dead skins and about to fall, if you pick up, if you separate those skins, it will be tahir. So those skins, if you separate, because they are about to fall and they are dry, so if you separate them yourself, it will be tahir and not najis. Those of the skins which are not ready to fall, that means they are not totally dead, they are still, you know, alive, because the soul is still there inside it, it's not dead. So those skins which are not yet completely dead, if you separate those skins, ihtiyat wujubi, or how we say in Farsi, ihtiyat wajib is that avoid those skins. That means you consider them as najis. If you separate those of the skins of your body which are not about to fall, they are still, the soul is still in it, it's not completely dead. If you separate it yourself ahead of the time, then ihtiyat wajib says you have to avoid that. That means you consider it ihtiyatan, consider it to be najis. Blood touches the skin, yes. Now, if the blood comes out, now it depends. You are pulling the dead skin And if your hand was touching the dead skin only, then your hand will not be najis, because your hand is touching the dead part of the skin. So if the front part of the skin is dead, you are allowed to pull the front part only, which is about to fall, and it's completely dead. But if you pull it more and there's a rear part of the skin which is not completely dead, that's why the blood is coming out. So it is connected, the soul is into it, soul is penetrated into it. So if you pull it and the rear part also comes out, consider that rear part, even if the blood doesn't touch it, consider that rear part, according to Ihtiyat al-Wajib, to be najis. Avoid it. Okay, now there are certain rules about najasat that. No, nails, if they are dead, the front end of the nails are considered to be dead because the soul is not penetrated into it. That's not najis. But if we pull the nails like they used to do, and the torturing of our fellow Mu'min brothers in various areas by Wahhabis and others, they are pulling the nails, so that a rear part of the nail, the soul has penetrated into it. That if somebody pulls out, that part of the nail will be najis. Ihtiyatan, according to Ihtiyat, we will consider it to be najis. Ihtiyatan. Okay, let me erase this. How to prove that something is najis? The first way how we prove something to be najis is that you see it with your eyes. That's the first way. Second of all, if two Adil witnesses two Adil men bear witness that it is najis, that's how we will prove it. And third of all, the owner of the thing tells you. If the owner says, even if he's just one person, the owner says that's najis, then you have to consider his property to be najis. So these are the three ways how we prove the najasat. If the najasat you have is not proven by one of these two, three ways, then consider everything to be tahir. Because we have hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam saying that kullu shay'in tahir. everything is tahir, hatta ta'lama, until you get to know that it is najis. So if you have 100% ilm, I already explained that you need to have 100% knowledge. If you are 98% sure, this is not going to prove anything. This is dhan, and dhan and guman is not hujjat in Islam. It does not prove. So you have to be 100% sure, and that's what we call ilm. So if you are 100% sure, then you will call something to be najis, and these are the ways how to be 100% sure in Islam. So if you don't have one of those three ways, then you cannot be 100% sure. So, so somebody can say, well, I may not be 100% sure, but if two adil witnesses are bearing witness in front of me, I can still not be 100% sure. Well, this is what we call hujjatun shar'iyya. When the shari'at considers this to be hujjat, then you have to consider it to be hujjat. Whether you are sure or you are not sure is irrelevant, because Allah is asking you to consider it to be enough. So this is what we call ilm. This is the explanation of ilm and 100% knowledge. That's how you will have 100% knowledge. If you don't have one of these three ways, you know, even if there's one adil person saying this carpet is najis, well, he's a very nice mu'min, he's adil, we won't say that you're wrong or something. Well, you're nice, you're mu'min, you're muhtaram, you're adil, but the Shariat is requiring for me to have two adil people, not one. So, you know, I trust you, but your witness is short of the Shari'i criteria. So I'm not going to consider the carpet to be najis just because one mu'min is telling me. And there's an incident also in the history which is narrated by some of our scholars, that there was a controversy between two great mujtahids at one time, and they, one went away and he came back, and the other one said, well, this thing is najis. The mujtahid who came back, he said, well, you are just one person, you are one adil witness, so we need two adil witnesses to call it najis. And then they decided among themselves, let's ask this from Imam Sahib Zaman alayhi salam. So according to that narration, they asked, and the reply that came from the Imam according to that narration is that one of those mujtahids was Sayyid, and the other one was non-Sayyid, which we call Shaykh. Okay, so this mujtahid who came back, he was Sayyid, and the person who was claiming that your property, your thing is now, this thing is now najis, you know, when this Sayyid came, returned back, he was there already, he said this thing is najis. So he was non-Sayyid, he was Shaykh. So the response according to the narration that came from Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam was like this: al-haqqu ma'a waladi wa shaykhu mu'tamadi. That means haq is with my son, that means this one who is Sayyid, wa shaykhu mu'tamadi, that means shaykh is my trustworthy person, mu'tamad. So obviously he is a trustworthy person, he is not lying, he obviously according to his knowledge it is najis. But the thing is that other mujtahid who is Sayyid, he is not liable to accept what he is saying, because this is just one witness. In order to prove najasat, there has to be two. So these are the only three ways how we will end up having ilm about najasat. So even if one adil mu'min says to you this is najis and he is not the owner, we will not consider, we are not liable to consider it to be najis. If you want to do ihtiyat, it's okay to do ihtiyat. but it's not wajib. So if something if something was najis, something was najis, later on you had shak, doubt, it became tahir or not. The ruling of the Sharia says you should consider it to be najis. And if something was tahir and then later on you have a doubt, it became najis or not, the ruling says you will consider it to be tahir. So bottom line is that we have a principle that لا تنقض اليقين أبدا بالشك. ولكن انقضه ولكن انقضه بيقين آخر. This is the principle of our fiqh. So don't, la tanqud means don't break. La tanqud al-yaqeena, don't break your yaqeen. Don't ever break your yaqeen through a shak and doubt. Walakin anqudhu, but break your yaqeen with another yaqeen. So yaqeen can break the previous yaqeen, but shak can never break the previous yaqeen. Here in this case, you have a previous yaqeen that this thing is najis. This previous yaqeen cannot be broken by a doubt. So if you have a doubt after it, the previous yaqeen will prevail. And you are not supposed to pay attention to the doubt, because doubt cannot break the yaqeen. And here in this case also, you have a previous yaqeen that it is tahir. Now there is a doubt after that. Doubt cannot break the previous yaqeen. The previous yaqeen can only be broken by another yaqeen. This is the principle of our fiqh. Shak can never be broken through yaqeen cannot be broken through a shak. Yaqeen can only be broken through another yaqeen. So the same applies in the case if you had yaqeen, you have wudu, and then you are having doubt whether my wudu got broken, become batil or not. So now you are doubt whether or not, so that shows that you are not sure. So this is, you know, if you are 50-50, this is shak. So shak cannot invalidate the previous yaqeen. You had a yaqeen that you did the wudu. Now you have a doubt, 50-50, shak, did the wudu break or not? So shak cannot invalidate the previous yaqeen. And this is applicable in all these cases. Okay.
I'm coming to that point.
Should I erase all this? Consuming najis things, all the najis things, is haram. So any najis thing, it's haram to eat. And the opposite is not true. Every haram is not necessarily najis. And we already discussed that. We gave the example of soil. Eating soil is haram, but it's not najis. So, eating any najis thing is haram in Islam. If the house carpet, the food of someone's house is najis, the guest is not liable to tell others. If you see the food is najis, something has fallen in the food, or carpet is najis, or any part of the house is najis, you are a guest. You're not supposed to tell other guests or even the owner of the house. But if the host finds out that the carpet, food, etc. is najis, well, in terms of food, he must tell others and not give them the haram food or najis food. In terms of the carpet, he is not liable to tell. What the most could happen, people are walking, they will make the rest of the areas najis. But because there is a, they can make the they can walk over the carpet and make the rest of the areas najis, it is wise and advisable to tell them, you know, so they cannot make the rest of the areas najis. So because the host is now, he knows that this is najis, he should tell the guests. But if you are a guest in the house of somebody and you know this carpet has become najis, you're not liable to tell others. Well, you can tell it's not haram, but sometimes it causes embarrassment for the owner. Sometimes it causes hardship for the people. So it's not your liability. You should avoid it in a subtle way that others won't realize, but no need to tell others.
There is doubt, or the two others, they have done their due diligence with regard to, let's say, you know, the food is being handled by, a kafir. They haven't seen it themselves, and they tell another third person that from their due diligence, what they have tried to find out, they haven't seen it themselves with their own eyes. How would that basically apply in terms of consumption of food?
You're talking about the guests?
Exactly. Or let's say, restaurant.
case of restaurants, first of all, informations keep on changing. So maybe you, when the time you inquired, it was right, but then later on, when others inquired, the information changed, the owners changed, the suppliers changed, things keep on changing. So if you all go to a restaurant together and you know that the meat is not halal, it's always good to tell others, you know. It's always good to tell others. I'm not saying it's wajib to tell others, but it is good to tell others. The others are themselves liable to apply the ruling of Sharia themselves. Every mukallaf, an aqil person, should apply the ahkam of Sharia when we are going to any shop, any restaurant. Every mukallaf is himself supposed to apply the Islamic rulings. Now we can, you know, the first rule of the thumb is that if you're buying from a taking meat from a Muslim's hand, I come to your house, you give me some meat, so offer me some meat to eat, I'm taking it from a Muslim's hand, that's enough for me, I will rely it, I can eat it without asking you. So first rule of the thumb, if you get the meat from a Muslim's hand, you can trust it without asking. Second rule says, if you're buying from a Muslim marketplace, that's enough to rely. These two rulings are not reliable if we find out otherwise. As soon as I find out a Muslim shopkeeper is not a practicing Muslim, then I will no longer trust his meat, and now I cannot apply any longer that because he's a Muslim, so I'm taken from the Muslim's hand, that's okay. I will no longer apply that ruling because I found out he's a non-practicing person. Because we have found out about several stores that they are faking, that's why we no longer trust them. So that's why we are applying the next ruling, which says that if you find out the person is non-practicing, then don't trust the person any longer. Then you start the tahqiq and research. If you take the meat, the third rule of the thumb, if you take the meat from a non-Muslim, obviously a meat and leather belonging to a non-Muslim market is all najis, unless and until after doing tahqiq and research we find out that it was slaughtered according to Islamic six Islamic conditions and it was tahir, then we will call a leather or meat to be najis, to be tahir. So if we are taking from a non-Muslim market or non-Muslim's hand, we will always do the tahqiq and research. From the Muslim hand and market, we will not do the tahqiq and research initially. As soon as we find out a person is non-practicing person, we will start doing the tahqiq and research. That's the ruling of Islam. So everybody who goes with you should apply these rulings himself. So it's good for you to tell, but it's not wajib on you to tell. Even if you find somebody has najasat on his clothes and he's praying, there's najasat, there's blood, something on the back of his clothes and he's praying, it's not wajib on you to tell him, there's najasat on your clothes, your prayers is batil. You're not supposed to tell. He considers his prayer, his dress to be tahir, and he's following his own yaqeen, that's okay. And his prayers is okay, because he doesn't know that. So we are not liable to tell him. Well, you can always see it. There's something.
You verify or just not trust that, or like don't have to pay attention?
Well, our own clothes are things that are obviously is unavoidable, because you are living in your house, you will sit in your car, you will go, how far you can avoid. Today or tomorrow you will discover the blood. So if you find out that your clothes, if you never find out, your prayers is okay. If you find out that your dress was najis, your prayers will be batil. You have to repeat the prayers. Even if you find out after the time has passed away, you have to repeat the prayers. Unless the blood was equal to the size of the thumbnail, this much blood, it is still najis, but it is what we call ma'fuvun anhu. It is forgiven amount. If you have blood on your clothes, this much,
magnitude equal to the thumbnail, that is also najis, but you can still pray in it. If it is more than this, then you cannot pray in it. Okay. A few points were remaining from previous lesson. First of all, dates. And raisins, khurma or kishmish. Dates and raisins. If they get boiled up themselves, they are still tahir and it's allowed to eat. Tahir plus halal. They don't become haram like this. If they get boiled, it doesn't become haram like this. The two words which I used, fuqa, is haram. Fuqa is a wine which is made from barley. What in Arabic they call fuqa, that's haram. And another which is called ma'ush-sha'ir, that is allowed. So there are two words used. Ma'ush-sha'ir is a different way, a process of making, and fuqa is a different process of making. Fuqa, that kind of, is haram, and ma'ush-sha'ir is tahir and not najis.
So both and are barley things?
Yes. Another clarification is that we were talking about the sweat of a camel if it consumes human feces. Sweat of a camel consuming human feces is najis. But this ruling does not apply on the sweat of other animals. This is one more point to remember. This ruling is also specific to a camel. So it's not going to apply to rest of the animals. If they eat human feces, their sweat will not be najis. And also another point is that, before we come to the end of tonight's class, is the sweat of a of a mujnib min al-haram. Someone who becomes mujnib through a haram act. The sweat of a mujnib is not najis, but according to ihtiyat wajib, he must not pray in those clothes. Which are which have sweat. Some of the maraji have said that he has to do the ghusl with cold water. He doesn't have the right to do the ghusl with hot water. If a person becomes mujnib, ejaculates with any haram act, zina, masturbation, any other haram act, the sweat of this person is not considered to be najis, but it is, he must not pray in those clothes which have the sweat on it. Some of the Maharajas say he has to take the shower, the ghusl, with the cold water only, not with the warm water. Yeah, obviously, if they consider it to be necessary, it will not be acceptable if the, he does it with the warm water. So, basically, yeah. So now we will, inshallah, in the next class, we will continue with the rulings of mutahhirat, the cleaning agents, which are actually 10, and we will start it with water, inshallah. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.